Welcome back to Hour 3 of Rosie on the House, where it's our goal and our mission to become every Arizona homeowner's best friend, and we've been working and striving and sweating and bleeding to do that for 26 years. We're here every single Saturday morning, so you can call in 1-888-767-4348 and ask us any question about home remodeling or improvement around your house, home, castle, or cabin, whether it's from the foundations all the way up to the chimney caps and anything and everything in between. We had a lot of issues in the last hour where we allowed the callers to dictate whatever topic it is that they were trying to solve. We wanted to talk to them about it. We solved a patio out in Fountain Hills. We solved a soundproofing a barn for a drummer down in Tempe or Gilbert. We helped a lady, instructed her how to fix a faucet, replace a faucet in Tempe. So any of those kinds of questions are why we're here Saturday morning for you. Here in the 10 o'clock hour, we've brought in a special guest I'd like to introduce all the listeners to. You've heard him before. He's been here before. He's been a longtime friend of the Rosie on the House network and family of contractors. It's Dennis Rodenberg. The company is Thermal Advantage. And we're here to talk about insulating homes that may not be quite as insulated as well as they should be. Dennis, talk a little bit about the company Thermal Advantage.
Well, thank you. Good to see you guys again.
Yeah, always good to see you, man.
What we do, what we specialize in, is injecting a non-toxic foam insulation inside of masonry walls.
And foam has really come into its own throughout the use, throughout the entire building industry. I mean, we're using foam in a lot of different places right now.
We do. Now, we specialize still in pretty much what we've been doing for going on 16 years now. is the injection into walls. We do some soundproofing and interior walls. We do a few other odds and ends that our website shows, but the bulk of our business, probably 90%, is the standard block, whether it's a concrete block or a slump block home in Arizona. Generally, they don't have any wall insulation in them at all, and that's what we improve the R value 5 times compared to the empty block.
You operate statewide.
Yes.
You know, and I've been in the building trades here in Arizona for a long time. In the 50s, virtually every home that was built in Arizona was a masonry home.
Right.
I mean, it was the great majority of the inventory. We were building masonry. And electricity was selling for 3.5 cents a kilowatt.
And the homes were being swamp cooled.
And the homes were being swamp cooled. Exactly. So we then, it was about the late 60s, we then started adding little like sand product down into the cores of the block, vermiculite, perlite. It was the only thing we had at the time. What do you do? I mean, you can probably age a home by once you drill it to find out what's in there. You could probably date it to this or that decade, I imagine.
Oftentimes, yes. And the vast majority don't have any insulation in the wall cavities in the block at all. Now, a few times a year, we do come across a home that has some type of a loose fill material in the block.
Yeah.
And we give the homeowner the option. We can vacuum that out
and
dispose of it. We clean all that out and patch up those holes appropriately. And then even if they have that loose fill material, typically that's settled some in the wall.
Yeah.
And the foam gives you at least twice the R value. And then we guarantee, part of our warranty is that they're satisfied with the patch that takes place.
I can't imagine if I were in that vintage of home, and you've actually done my home. My home was built long enough ago that it was completely void of anything inside the block walls. My home was built by a auto mechanic. Mr. Conway owned the Chevron station at Scottsdale and Shea forever, and we bought the home about 25 years ago. So one of the very first things we had you do was come in and inject the block wall with foam. We found a couple advantages pretty quick. One, it made for a lot quieter house.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it made it for a lot cleaner house. Seemed like there was a lot less dust in the house. And then three, of course, the primary reason you do it is to make it a more comfortable home.
Yeah, we have good results. If the temperatures are around 100 degrees during the day, or if we have a cold winter, people will notice the day that we do the work. They'll notice their air conditioning cycling different. If they live close to a freeway, they'll notice that the house is quieter. So if we're anywhere close to our extreme summer or winter, they'll feel the difference the very same day.
The very same day. So talk a little bit about the different types of foam. Is this an expansive foam that could blow block out? Is it, because there's some very, very strong foam. I've seen it warp windows. I've seen it warp doors.
Right.
You have various kinds of foam.
Our foam actually does not expand.
Okay.
When you watch it being installed, it may appear that.
It looks like it, yeah.
It does, but it's really hydraulic pressure. It goes in at about 100 PSI. And so what we're doing, we drill all the holes in the wall, we start injecting the foam, and essentially what we're doing is we're purging all that air out of that block system, and the foam insulation is left behind. And then we do our patch and match work.
It's actually finding its way into every single small crack, crevice,
absolutely,
void. It's actually evacuating everything out of those void spaces. I can't imagine, had I lived in a home with vermiculite insulation, that I wouldn't have wanted you to take it out.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, if you have it, you need to get it out of there and let the foam do its job.
It's much more thorough. And like I said, even if they have loose fill materials, oftentimes that's settled down the wall sometimes half or three quarters of the way. So it's an older way of doing things. And even on our commercial work, we do a lot of commercial work. There's very little of those loose fill products being used now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
When you're talking about filling every little void, some of these homes, we don't see them much anymore, but they still exist, the ranch style slump block where, you know, they would cut the electrical outlets right into the slump block. There's nothing for it out. I mean, is this foam coming into the house? And I mean, we got a sticky mess to deal with.
Our foam doesn't really stick and stain anything. It's a water base, so it cleans up very easily. Having said that, it will come through some of the outlets, which is a good thing. It'll help
you
seal
know it's
out.
There.
Yeah. Yeah, it helps seal that up. And if the homeowner has some expensive furniture or draperies, we just ask that they move that back away from the outlets where that could happen, or furniture, maybe put a towel on the floor. But if the home has drywall on the inside, which most of our customers do, the drywall pretty well stops all of that. And sometimes there's just a little bit of foam that oozes out of the outlets and plugs, and that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Seals up all the little critter, silverfish escapes and corridors and bugs and everything else. So it's a great feature to actually having this done.
I can't imagine how many critters we've entombed.
Yeah, that.
We've actually drilled holes and had lizards coming out of the holes that we drilled.
Run for your life.
I bet. Now, y'all do this all over. We were building masonry homes all over the state of Arizona. There isn't any place in Arizona you don't go. Explain the process. You're going to actually drill holes in the block wall itself.
Yes. On our website, it's spelled out really nice at thermaladvantage.com. But we drill into the masonry joint, and the purpose of that is for the repair process. It's easier to match the grout color to the and texture than it is to match the grout color or the block color and texture.
It doesn't need to be a very big hole.
You're a 5/8 hole.
A 5/8 diameter hole.
Yeah, a 5/8 hole, and then that exposes those empty cells. It's like an empty tube of air that's inside the concrete or slump block. And then our foam injection takes place, and like I say, it doesn't expand, doesn't stick to anything. So it's flowing freely in that wall system and purging out all the air, and then we come back and rinse the walls off, get it nice and clean, and then do our patchwork.
And you actually have a secondary hole that tells you when you're full.
Actually, we drill all the holes at one time throughout the home. And sometimes you'll see foam coming out if the block is porous at all. You'll see it coming up at the top and bottom. But the same procedure we use when we do a building such as a Walmart,
yeah,
where it's 20 feet high, and you'll see the foam coming out way up at the top of the electrical outlets and so forth.
Now, I've seen it done like at my house and in other places, and you actually see the dust blowing out of the hole as the foam's filling the space and the air's coming out and the little critters are crawling out and all of that. So really, it really seals up the older masonry homes. But there are other applications for it as well. I know you do some sound insulation. I know There are people that talk about track homes not having insulated exterior walls as well as they should be and are actually injecting foam into walls that already have insulation in them. I have a lot of questions about that process in general. You were talking about we had homes that actually had floor plans where the bedrooms were sitting over the top of garages. Well, there are a lot of those built through the 90s that make for a very, very hot garage. But that was one of the things y'all were able to engineer a solution for.
Yes. It's a combination of foam and loose fill materials. I actually figured it out on a home that I owned in Ahwatukee, my first house I bought here, and I could not cool the upstairs bedrooms that were over the garage. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And they had a bad orientation. They were at least 10 degrees warmer than the rest of the house. And I figured out it's basically the problem is very minimal and poorly installed insulation underneath those floors where the garage intersects with that. So it's a little bit of a complication when they built the house. They didn't really take the time to do a proper job. But we fix several of those, and it's a regular part of our business now.
We get that question a lot. I mean, it's a good use of space, which is why they did it. If you're going two-story to just go straight on top of the garage. But they didn't insulate it. They didn't air condition that space. And then especially in the summer, if you've got a garage you park in, you're now taking a vehicle that's got a metal block that's 200 degrees or whatever, shoving it in this box and sealing it in. You just got this heat radiator in there the whole time. So I mean, the concept, but the execution, like you said, was right. So I'm really glad. I've got to make sure. I didn't know y'all had engineered a solution. I got to make sure everyone knows because we get that question.
I'm sure
actually
you do.
Quite frequently.
It is. It's an also. It's a big enough problem that we hear about it many times through the course of a year.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U if you'd like to talk insulation.